James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East Eddy Ranch. We've got quite a show. We always have some great people coming on. We've got kind of a round table here. I wanted to bring on some of the people that were here at the event to talk about some of their stories about the fabulous photos we've taken here. And I also want to cover a little bit about the Gulf oil fiasco and then bring that up. Now, in the Hopi prophecy, there's a prophecy that says that, you know, the land, the sea shall turn black. And there's another Tibetan prophecy that talks about the oceans turning black. And I could never figure out how the oceans could turn black until now. And now that we see this massive oil spill, and it's an oil volcano. It's not an oil spill. It's something much, much bigger than that. And, you know, I am just blown away at the lockdown on the press and how people who are not, they have no authority whatsoever. They're BP people. They're not sheriffs. They're not with the Coast Guard. You know, there's some Coast Guard and BP people. And, you know, they, all of a sudden they were given a little card or something. I don't know what they were given that, all of a sudden they have the authority to, totally lock down, you know, run people off the beaches, steal your cameras, throw everybody, do a total news blackout on this thing. So, you know, to me, that's a violation of, you know, free speech, quite a few other things that are going on there, and do these guys really have the authority? I saw a couple, guys got in there, some news people on there, and they tried to interview people, and they said, no, you're not talking to any of the cleanup people, you're not talking to any of these people. And what's sad is you can see these people that are working on the cleanup, and, you know, I hate to say it, but I said, looks like a lot of people that are working on that cleanup are just people that just grabbed, you know, anywhere, anybody can come and work on this cleanup. And a lot of them aren't very highly educated as to the effects of the gases and the oil. And, you know, they're not wearing the right gear. And it's, you know, these people are going to pay a heavy price later. And so they don't want the press to see people with masks on or, the proper equipment to deal with this oil. They don't want people to know how toxic it really is and how the gases coming off that oil, how toxic that is as well. So, it's quite interesting. You see the lockdown, you know, on the news, you see the total, the totally Nazi program going on there, and under whose authority, we don't know. They even asked them, whose authority do you, you think you have the authority to stop me from filming the oil or talking to the people along the coast that are being affected by it? And, apparently, BP seems to override, the Constitution and all local authorities. So, it's amazing. I've never seen anything like this. But if people haven't figured it out by now and seeing what's going on as far as who's in control of things, it's definitely not we the people anymore. But I can go further into this now. Now, this is some real interesting news that came in. It seems like this Bush-Cheney Halliburton company, they both had massive financial incentives, for this explosion to happen and for this rig to go down. And what's funny, that a lot of people that were invested, even a head CEO of BP, took his money out just a few days before, took a lot of money out, not all of his money, and sold a lot of his stock. It looks like Goldman Sachs, all these guys pulled their money out of BP, and they ran over and they bought these oil cleanup companies, and which is just amazing. And so, if you follow the money and the exchanges that happened a few days before this massive explosion, you know that it paints a very clear picture on who's behind it, who's profiting on it, why it exploded, and either these guys have the best crystal ball you ever saw and have can see into the future, or they were in on it. You know, they had pre-knowledge that there was going to be an explosion, and they jockeyed in position to capitalize on this event. So anyway, any way you look at it, you know, most people, when I interviewed Alfred Weber with Exopolitics, and he said this was another false flag event that was actually created to just wreak havoc and get everybody's attention focused in one area. And it's just a total war on nature going on. To me, it's like, you know, I don't put that past, you know, them, these guys, but, you know, I'm really having a hard time wrapping my head around somebody that would destroy an entire ocean. I mean, what kind of consciousness would it take to do such a thing? I mean, that would just have no respect for life, you know, just to totally waste turtles and dolphins and all the birds and the fish there and just totally devastate, you know, an entire ocean. What kind of consciousness would be behind such an act? And you really think about it, what kind of consciousness would drill into a volcano, go into an area full of volcanism, and drill one of the deepest wells possible, knowing there's a possibility of having this event happen, and then toss away all the safeguards, the acoustic valves necessary, the shutoff valves, all the safety gear, just throwing it away, forgetting about that stuff. And then on top of that, you can add the other ongoing spills that are happening that we haven't heard about. There were other blowouts and other problems drilling in that area, not too far away from this main spill. So there's one still going that they've covered up quite well, and they aren't telling the people. So there's two massive oil spills, and now, according to the Russian scientists, there's almost 9 spills going on there, 9 massive leaks with oil coming up from them. So forget about the pipe. You know, the pipe's been compromised. This oil's coming up, you know, everywhere. It's coming up through cracks. It's under, 70,000 something PSI, I guess. I can't remember what it is. It's something ridiculous. It's something they can't handle. Basically, they tapped a volcano. So it's beyond, you know, the scientists warned them about it. They said, don't go there. Don't do this. You're gambling. The consequences are so severe. I mean, any way you look at it, this is one of the most criminal, ignorant, greedy events you can ever imagine. And the side effects of this, and for people to know ahead of time and capitalize on this, and, you know, having Halliburton drive away from the scene of the crime, right, you know, right after they drive away, it seems to blow up. I mean, we're kind of going, well, who's making capitalize on this? Who's making all this money at this massive event, this catastrophic event? And when you tie everything in together, and it is coming out all of the internet, all these connections are coming out. You know, I'm sorry if you know, we're giving Britain a bad name or interfering with their trust funds and all of their other investments and pension funds and everything else, but, you know, basically, when you invest in Satan, you might have some consequences. And not that I believe in Satan, but that's just an example. Is that, you know, when you invest in companies that are suppressing, you know, the fuelless energies, we could be cleaning up this planet and making people a lot freer and a lot more abundant. You know, we have the technologies to provide for all of our transportation and energy needs, basically, fuelessly and effortlessly. We have anti-gravity, we have counter-gravity, it's in the black projects, it's in some basements. I even know where some of this is. But it can't come out because of these same individuals. They have their own little hit team that goes out and takes care of anybody that's coming out with some technologies that might cut into their pocket. So anyway, now that we know who these guys are, and now that we know what they're capable of, you know, the next question is, you know, basically, what are we going to do about it? And we need to also look at the politicians involved all the way up to the top and who has been taking heavy, heavy contributions from these guys. And just think about it. Are they going to be looking out for our highest and best good? Of course not. You know, they never have. So the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And we've been given the same, doesn't matter which party you vote for, it just doesn't matter anymore. you've got these same guys running the show. So I want to get into this Gulf oil dispersant core exit. It's 11 times more lethal than the oil. And the only reason they sprayed that was to cover up the event, to sink the oil so people couldn't see it. But actually, they made 11 times more toxic spill than was there in the first place. So in their cover-up effort using this dispersant, they've actually made things 11 times worse. And on top of that, guess who owned the dispersant, you know? Guess which companies were involved in spraying this dispersant and you know, follow the money. You'll find these same guys are heavily invested. They bought these companies, these oil cleanup companies, and the dispersants, and that's why they were used. No other reason. Not, I mean, there are bacteria that they could throw on there that would be eating the oil, that would be doing it safely without any side effects. You know, they could have even used hay and leave it on the surface and use hay. There's other technologies that they can spray on there, sponge-type technologies that would have grabbed the oil and helped clean it up. That would have been a lot more effective, and you probably could actually get a lot of this oil back and use it for you know, some type of energy need. So anyway, I mean, this has just been insane. What, you know, the disinformation, the lies, the cover-up, and the gross profits made on this, you know, this catastrophe. And then you add that to, you know, just looking at all the pictures of the solvent-covered birds and, you know, the just it's just heart-wrenching to see the turtles, you know, and the dolphins and all the oil-soaked birds. And you know what this is now? This is even weirder. I kept getting these clips of all these oil-soaked animals, dying animals, and articles, and they're disappearing. They're disappearing off the internet. So these guys' fingers go deep, and if they don't want people to see something or know something, you know, their fingers go very deep, even into the internet. So a lot of this stuff is disappearing, and you know, to me, it's like you know, it's just in your face, obvious who's who and what their motives and intentions are. If you haven't figured it out by now, you're just not paying attention. So anyway, that's basically all I want to say on this oil situation. It's a mess. It definitely seems like it was, you know, another 911 false flag operation. Everything is leading. You just follow the money. Look at who is involved. Look who cashed in on this thing. And you'll probably see who is responsible. At minimum, you know, just being neglectful and being pinching pennies, you know. That's the minimum responsibility and criminal activity there. But, you know, the maximum is it could also just lead up to them actually blowing the well themselves because they had huge investments in shortages, hoping that that well wouldn't come in. So when they take all their money out of the well and invest in the well going down, and they invest in all the cleaning, cleanup toxins and the, you know, the cleanup companies and everything else, and they do this days ahead of the event, I mean, what does that tell you? Connect the dots. It's just unbelievable when you see what's going on. Now, the same group have another blowout in Alaska. The pipeline blew out, and that's creating a huge mess, and they haven't even cleaned up the Valdez yet. So that's still a mess, and they're still fighting over cleaning that one up. So, you know, everybody's going to say, oh, it's going to be over. We're not going to pay a dime for this. It's all going to be cleaned up. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to see here, folks. Move on, you know, move on. It's just not going to work on this one. This is like standing in front of about a whole herd of elephants saying, there's nothing behind me. There's nothing happening here, folks. And it's just not going to work this time. Now, the good news is, talking with some of the higher beings, Ezekiel and some of the others, I asked them about this, about what was going on. And they told me in the very beginning, they said, this is not what you're hearing. They said, this is extremely, it's an extreme catastrophe, you know, basically of biblical proportions. And they said, it's a mess beyond your wildest dream. And so I asked them, I said, are the ETs going to clean this up, or are the higher beings? And they said, no. And I said, why not? And they said, well, you're not learning your lesson that people are so complacent, they're so asleep, they're just so bent on destroying the very platform for life and continuing in total denial and investing in these programs and being willing participants in it. It's going to take something like this to shake them up and wake them up. And so, you know, at this point, we're in that process of being shaken up, waking up, and really seeing what's going down. And it's part of a bigger plan, basically. So I'm really hoping that there is some major divine intervention. It might be some something much bigger than you think. I mean, just to clean up a mess like that, it's gonna be pretty intense. So, you know, I don't know what's on the horizon there with this mess, but all I know is that, you know, it's not their mess. They didn't make it, and why should the ETs and the higher beings step in and clean up our mess? And especially when we're totally bent on destroying the very platform for life, and so many of us are willing participants in this project. So anyway, that's what they're saying about it. But, you know, I have this little gut feeling that everything's all right. You know, that even though it's not, even though it looks really ugly and everything else, we do have to realize that these things happen. They're major events. All of us are eternal. These birds are eternal. These animals are eternal. They'll come back. We may not see them in numbers for a while, but the Earth has a way of cleaning herself up and moving on to the next level, which is what I see actually happening. It's not going to be a pretty picture when she goes through her process of cleaning this up, but nonetheless, it will eventually clean up and move on. But anyway, that's just my feeling of it. You know, I'm not trying to discount it. I had somebody saying everything's okay, you know, just focus on love and joy and everything's okay, and it's all an illusion and don't worry about it, and I go really, I said, why don't you just go down to the beach there and you know, fill your lungs up with that good old toxic air down there, and maybe grab yourself a cup of oil and down it, and tell me how okay you are in the next 24 hours, you know. So anyway, it's not okay, basically, you know, on this level. It's definitely not okay. On a much higher level, maybe it is okay. But right now we're on this level. We have physical bodies. Our physical bodies are going to be dealing with this mess. And those who are sensitive are feeling the earth. They're feeling the earth just wrenching right now. And they're feeling the death of all of these animals and just, you know, some are just sick with it. Anybody who's connected to the earth right now is probably just, you know, turning over in their stomach. They're probably being nauseated, having headaches and everything else. They're feeling the energy. They're feeling the toxins. They're feeling everything that's going on there. And so a lot of people are having these problems. It's what you're feeling is what the earth is feeling, because you're connected to the earth. And if you're very sensitive, you're going to be feeling that. But anyway, you know, it's quite a lesson. I hope, you know, people get outraged. Sometimes rage is justified. I think there's a need to, you know, put an end, you know, to the banksters and these oil, you know, drill baby drill people and, you know, these war and disease profiteers. You know, this has got to come to an end. And we've had lessons in every arena. I'm sure we're fed up with the wars, and we're fed up with the war industries programs, and we're fed up with the diseases and all the, you know, swine flus and the things generated in labs and released on the people, you know, and all these other crazy viruses that they're creating. You know, it's all there. But, you know, mainly it's just a big wake-up call. We're going to see over and over and over until we go and see who's behind all this and start waking up and do something about it. But that could be a whole show in itself. But anyway, the oil, that's about all I need to say about the oil. We need to really wake up and smell the coffee on this one, and it's definitely not a pretty picture here. You know. So we're going to see if we can go out to the lines. I'm going to go ahead and take some phone calls a little later in the show. And I wanted to talk to a few people that are here right now. We've got a little round table going, so see if we can connect to the field line out there. Is anybody out there? Hello? Looks like we're not on the field line yet, so maybe we can bring in Robin from Montana on line one. Robin, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Do you hear me?
Yes, welcome to the show.
Okay, thank you. Yes, it's a pleasure. No, I just wanted to quickly comment on something I've noticed in the past few days, and I don't know what this means, but we've been... I do listen to your show fairly regularly, and I've noted your comments and some of your callers, you know, conversations about the chemtrails.
Mm-hmm.
We have not had any. We've been blasted really badly, too. I would say, really heavily prior to this week for 3 weeks earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 weeks ago, I was in Sedona, Arizona, seeing Bratzo. And they were heavily, one day there was nothing on Memorial Day, and the next day they were everywhere. And I saw a lot of what looked like cloud ships that were sucking them up. But
mm-hmm.
in relation to this oil spill, and it seems like the attention has gone over to the oil spill from some maybe powers that be. We have had
mm-hmm.
very clear skies, no chemtrails for about, three, four days now, and that's what I wanted to mention.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I was noticing that today that we haven't had chemtrails here. We had them about a week ago, but it's been this clear skies, and, you know, this may sound very, very cold, but factual is maybe they're going to meet their quota, you know, with this oil spill and all the toxic fumes and everything else, because there is an agenda to, you know, reduce the population and you know, maybe between this, they may not have to use the chemtrails so much. You know, I don't know. But,
yeah, something along that line, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
well, that was
like,
all I had to say.
All right, well, thanks for coming on the show. It looks like I don't know if we've got our field line in. We're having a little jockeying going here. It might have hung up. Nope, field line's still off. There's a few things other, I'm hoping, we've got a few people here, and I wanted to have a couple people talk about some of the amazing photos that we've taken. And here, and somebody who's very close to the gentleman that took these photos, Khan, who's a Japanese monk, and have her talk about her experiences with him and what she saw there at the conference. We're getting a lot of almost angry emails saying, I can't believe you're putting this picture up. It's a fake, you know, and this and that. And what does that have to do with ufology? And take me off your list, you know, you know, unbelievable stuff. And really it goes with the territory. If you are going to be engaging an interdimensional mind and moving beyond the physical, you're going to have these experiences. And that's just the way it is. You are going to be connecting into masters, saints, and sages, ancient god beings, ultra-dimensional beings, all of this. It all comes together. And so we just have to get outside of our little boxes and, you know, realize that there's a lot more to this story, you know, than nuts and bolts or grays and reptilians. It's a much, much bigger picture. And when you expand into interdimensional mind, you're going to have these experiences. I think we've got Mark on line three. Mark, are you with us?
Yes. I mean, I definitely agree with everything you're saying, because I've been working with the interdimensional, everything that you've been talking about for most of my life, for many years,
mm-hmm.
especially the past 15 years. I've been a lot more, 20 years, much more consciously aware of it. And seeing the cloud ships all over the state of New Hampshire, they're everywhere. There's actually, even beneath the White Mountains, there's actually a city of light where they actually go into, which I plan on going to visit again this summer with a group, you know, do some
mm-hmm.
earthing work, some vortex work and so forth with them, like we did it. So they're here in New Hampshire, in Salem, we have what's called America's Stonehenge, which
mm-hmm.
is like the Stonehenge in England, very ancient, you know, about going back thousands of years with all the astronomical markers. They have
mm-hmm.
the different caves, which you could fit about three people or so to do specific ceremonies. And there's a larger one where they did, you know, it's more advanced ceremonies and so forth. And when we were working there as a group, you know, we had shamans there and, you know, a lot of different people who had different specialties. You know, it was a very intense time. We did about a month ago, and there's just more things that we have planned to do and so forth. And it's just amazing to feel and know that there are groups like this doing the work all over the planet, you know, where we come together as Lightworkers Way Shores to do the earth healing work, to do the multidimensional, multi-universal anchoring, you know, and that you have groups with people with a variety of different specialties that work together as a group with the common goal for the greater good of the whole to aid in the ascension of the planet. It's just so great to feel and know that you're being a part of it.
Yeah, great. Now, are you experiencing some of these other masters along with, are you experiencing the same thing, that a lot of these known ascended masters actually seem to work hand-in-hand with these ultra-dimensionals like Pleiadians and Andromedans and the Orion Council of Light and some of these other beings? They seem to all tie in together and work in harmony together.
Most definitely. I mean, myself, you know, I can remember, I mean, I'm 44 in this embodiment, and I had conscious memories going back to the 1970s as a child, looking out my bedroom window, seeing UFOs flying overhead and being excited because I knew I was going to be playing with my friends that night. And, of course, you know, I didn't have more conscious memory of my experiences until I got older, obviously. But
yeah.
I always remembered bits and pieces, and then as I got older and I started to understand more and more, I had that conscious awareness of some of my experiences on the ships. It's
great.
It's like you with family.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we have to look at. You know, there's a greater family of man out there. They're waiting for us to get out of our little boxes and wake up and smell the coffee, and when we do, they're there waiting with open arms to greet us.
Exactly. I mean, that's why it's important that we do our shows. I have a Blog Talk Radio show tomorrow night, you know, every other Sunday night. And, you know, basically a soul evolution journey and self-empowerment, which is really what it's about, is our soul's journey, you know, soul's evolution, if you will, and true self-empowerment, as you know, is really connecting with the divinity within all of us, through the creator consciousness through which we're all one. Really knowing and being that oneness and knowing it. Feeling
great.
And being it.
Yeah, what's your Blog Talk Radio show?
Basically, it's our Blog Talk Radio, then it's / then Healing for Inner Peace, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, the number 4, then I-N-N-E-R-T-E-A-C-E.
And then what time is that?
8 p.m. Eastern.
Great. Hey, well, thanks for calling. Hopefully people will tune into your show.
And, you know, I mean, I also like, you know, you're also invited to be a guest on my show at some point if you're interested.
Oh, we'll do that, yeah. Just go ahead and you know, go to the eSETI website and contact them there, and they can set it up.
Okay, so it's great talking to you. You know, I love your work.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on the line. We're going to go out to the field here. I think we've got line one hooked up again. We've lost it a couple times, but...
James?
Let me see. Hello?
Hi, James.
Hey, we've got the field open, huh?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, good. I wanted to go back and talk about the oil situation.
Sure.
And like you mentioned, the ill health effects that are going on. They're not just with the ocean, obviously, but with also the people that are cleaning it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in rubber boots and gloves, like you were saying, and... you know, the toxic effects of that are going to just be profound later. There's people that have been cleaning up past oil spills that weren't protected right, and they end up showing up with bronchial conditions and asthma and all these other things. But basically going back into the politics of the whole thing, on NPR radio they were mentioning basically what most of the crude oil is used for, in terms of an 80-gallon barrel and the percentages of how much of that barrel go to what and what industries. And, you know, what you'll find is that maybe 30% of it go to making gasoline, obviously, that we're very dependent on.
Mm-hmm.
The other 20% of it goes to pharmaceutical companies, which I thought was very interesting. And you ask, you're like, wait a minute, pharmaceutical companies? And you're like, why is that? And basically, a lot of the crude oil that we use is used to manufacture mass-scale pharmaceuticals. And also, like you mentioned, the Halliburton boys, or a lot of them are CEOs, and they're also executives in all of these other companies, making profound amounts of money on generating a lot of these prescription drugs. And, you know, you can just go to your local, you know, pharmacy, and you get something called petroleum jelly that you put on your wrist, or petroleum-based product, and you'll see how oil is directly involved with a lot of medicine-making things as well. But in concentrations that are coming out of the earth like that, it's extremely toxic, and it's also semi-toxic putting it on your skin to begin with. But using that 20% to make these drugs, you can see the investments involved in, you know, basically capitalizing on the oil that's there. And what we all need to do as a people is, because we're all partly responsible in it, we all use gasoline, and no one's standing up and coming to the cause and trying to basically stop promoting this behavior. And we all need to take a part and do something, whatever we can, to stop this, you know, mass consumption, this gluttony of oil. And if everyone would do a little bit, things could change, I believe. So basically, I wanted just to leave you with that note, and I'll be passing the phone along here.
I've got a question for you before you go. Yeah, there's the gases that are coming off of of that oil spill. What is there's like methane, and then there's like three or four other gases that are just deadly. And those are going up in the atmosphere, and that's going to create a huge asthma outbreak, you know, bronchial pneumonia, who knows what else. Anybody who's compromised is going to have some serious problems with that if their immune system is compromised or their lungs are compromised or whatever. And they're already seeing plants getting just destroyed by any... and, you know, the moisture coming off of that, you know, that's raining down on the plant. So is there any, what do you think about that situation there?
Well, the oil produces volatile gases that are extremely toxic. We live in a toxic world. It's come to that point. You can't barely go into anywhere and not get exposed to something nowadays. There's people that are coming into medical clinics with conditions called multiple chemical sensitivity, and... those conditions can come up later from being exposed to a high load of toxic exposure initially, or very small subsequent exposures over time. And, you know, a lot of these environmentally related illnesses are going to be emerging here because of our ways and our habits, and because we haven't stepped up and basically gotten rid of that gluttony and all that, you know, and address the individuals that are solely responsible for all this. You know, I mentioned earlier to some people about chemtrails, and there's, you know, that's kind of a black flag name for it, but essentially pesticides that are sprayed on foods that we eat are essentially chemtrails. So it's not a, you know, it's not a esoteric concept. It's, you know, it's here, and we live in this world, and so... you know, the best thing we can do is to change our behaviors and to act and to stop promoting what's going on. That is to basically, you know, connect with nature more, understand our connection with nature more, use economic means to help promote nature and to promote evolution versus devolution in terms of polluting our environment and killing off everything. And, you know, our concepts, our minds have to change. You can't sit back and watch and expect something to happen. You just can't.
Yeah.
Like you said, you have to act, and people can't keep sticking their heads in the sand like ostriches. You know, it's got to end.
I agree.
You know, you can go within and find that state of peace, which is your purpose, I believe, but everything is connected. We're a carbon-based being. We live in a carbon-based world. we're made up of the elements of this planet, and so is every living thing here. And creating artificial chemicals and means to basically power our needs and power our pockets with the lack of understanding life, in a sense, is going to be basically have drastic consequences if we don't change, you know. And so what I say basically is for everyone to do the best that they can and to do whatever they can to, you know, become more whole with what is around them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to just stop and think for a second, just for 1 second, put down your iPod or put down your, stop watching television for 1 second, think about what you can do to help make a difference. And I
get back in touch with nature.
If everybody does that, it can have a profound impact. People may not even realize it. They may not think it will, but if everyone is, or most people are doing what they can, it will have an impact. Cause
oh, I agree.
Relationship.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. It's love your comments, and hopefully people will take them to heart.
Yeah.
We got another our roundtable guest.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, James. It's Nate.
Is this Nate?
Yeah. I was not expecting to go on the radio. I thought that we were passing it off to Deanna. I had her. Had her set up somewhere. Oh, yeah, here she is. She was going to talk about... you know, I don't know, whatever she's going to talk about, Khan and Kunlun or whatever she's got up her sleeve. Here she is.
Great.
Hello.
Hey, Deanna, welcome to the show.
Hey, James, how are you doing?
Doing great. Hey, I wanted to ask a few questions because we are getting a lot of flack from people, you know, about the pictures that were taken of Mary. And just from your side of the perspective, I mean, being there present when the pictures were taken, I'd love to hear, you know, your take on it and also knowing Khan for quite some time.
Mm. Well, the last picture that he had of Mary, I remember you guys, he had a earlier picture where she wasn't that clear.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to look at his camera, for one thing, and see the pictures that were in his camera before he took the last picture, which came out very clear. Mm-hmm. And we actually saw him there, and he was standing, and he was looking, and he kind of moved back and forth, and he grabbed his camera, and we saw him actually taking those pictures for that one last picture that he did take. So there was, like, there's no doubt that you can't say that, you know, he had him in there before, or he snuck and, you know, took a picture before, you know, because, you know, everybody saw, you know, that it happened. So.
His camera was empty because we already downloaded it, and when we went on his, when we checked the film, the last picture he took, you know, and I saw him take the picture, I saw the flash go off, everything else, and so when we grabbed that picture right away to make sure we didn't lose it after he got it, I mean, he was shocked. He had tears in his eyes. He's going, oh, so holy, so loving,
yeah,
so beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, it's amazing it could come in. And it's crazy, too, because I'll show some people, even my parents, and, you know, some people, they're really excited over it, and other people, they're just like, oh, you know, okay. I'm just like, oh, my God, you guys, there's a miracle right here in front of your eyes, and you're either willing to accept the miracle or you're not, you know. So it's just, you know, where you are in your heart, I think, and, you know, miracles happen with us every day, and we're, you know, we just pass them by. And, you know, here's somebody in our lifetime where we are actually, you know, connected with this person, or we can meet this person, or, you know, and actually come and introduce ourselves and, you know, with Khan and be part of him, or, you know, or just, you know, and these things happen. It's happened in the past where people see these affirmations everywhere, you know, and it's happening now in our lifetime, which is amazing. And it's, and that's just, you know, so wonderful. So we could either be a part of that or disregard it and, you know, and live in our small little box world. So it's up, you know, it's up to how people want to take it. But
yeah, I mean, I've gotten emails that said, you know, take that picture down, you know, it's a fake, and the Kuan Yin one is a fake, and this and that. And, you know, even the Kuan Yin one, those two reporters were there, and they checked out his, he took them on his phone, and they went into his phone, and they made sure nothing was added or subtracted, and they downloaded it, and they really checked it out thoroughly, investigated, and they came up with it. They're very skeptical. And this last event, you know, same thing. I'm getting these emails saying it's a fake, you know, I don't know what kind of a con job that is, and, you know, this and this and this and this. And, you know, knowing con, I'd love to hear your take on just the nature of con. And you know, to me, I can't even imagine him doing such a thing.
Oh, no, not at all. Because even, I think people, they need to meet him first before they could even talk about him or say that it's bad. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people in the world today. You know, they don't really give the time or go out to meet the person. They just rather, you know, start, you know, saying negative stuff about someone before they even give a person a chance. And if they were to meet him, they know, you know, they'll know he's sincere. They know that you're coming from the heart. You know, even when you're talking to somebody, you know that that person is genuine, you know. And, and cons, you know, all of those. And when you meet him, you know. So
yeah.
You just have to go out and do their homework and go and meet, you know, come and see him. He's, you know, go where he has classes around the world. So it's not hard.
Yeah, you know, and you think about him, you know, he's really gone through the gamut. He was, you know, extremely well-trained in so many different martial arts. You know, he spent so many times in all these different masters and temples, and, you know, he's a Japanese monk. He pretty much lives in a cave, you know, so.
He's doing his work.
Yeah, he's doing his work. He's got nothing to gain, and he gave the pictures freely. He didn't want anything. He's not gaining anything out of this. And he didn't even know who Mary was, basically. I mean, he's more focused on Kuan Yin and some of the other beings.
His land. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Mitabha and the Buddhist teaching. So, you know, I just, you know, I keep that little door open on with myself to think of any other possibility. You know, there's a little discerning thing in me that, and I've looked at this from every angle, I just have a really hard time, you know, believing this has any way possibly could have hoaxed it, and if he did, his nature just wouldn't allow it. You know, he wouldn't such a thing.
I mean, and he's been through a lot of hardships too. His life wasn't easy. You know, he was stuck in the hospital for a year, couldn't walk. So, I mean, they're amazing. He's an amazing guy, and you know, it's great. It's so wonderful that somebody could do that and bring those pictures to us. You know.
Oh yeah.
So
and you know, he got the picture the felines too. You know, what I think is amazing is that, I mean, we were actually experiencing her energy and identified it as being her, and everybody was having these incredible experiences around her energy, and then he gets up and he takes the picture of her, which basically just validated what was happening there, that everybody else already knew and were sensing what was already happening.
Wow.
You know, so to me, it's just, you know, how do you negate that? But, you know, there always will be those people out there that no matter what you do or say, you know, they always think you have an agenda because a lot of them have agendas, you know.
There's no agenda. What's agenda behind that? There's nothing. You could just stare at the pictures, pure love, you know. No,
yeah, I think I'm going to put a little haul and have a picture in and tell people for like $9.95 they can click on the picture and view this holy event. And if they gaze into it for like 4 hours, they'll be healed of everything.
If you were doing something like that, then I could see people going, hey, Laura.
I mean, people can download the picture and print it themselves, you know, if they want the picture. It's like we're not, you know, it's crazy. I don't know. It's just insane. Something like that you share. You don't... you know, you don't try to capitalize on it. You share it with as many people as possible.
Get it out to the world, and you know, and if they don't want to believe, then they don't want to believe, and you know, that's you know, their prerogative. But but we know, and the people out there know, and the ones that have their heart open and just look at it, they know, you know. So
speaking
that's what
of people
matters.
With their their heart open. I think you're one of the most heart open people I've ever met, and sensitive to energies, and can tell who's who, you know, right off the bat. And actually, you keep us straight quite a bit. You know, we kind of step out of our heart now and then, and you bring us all back. So, so I'll have to commend you on that.
Oh, no.
Is there anything else you want to share with the audience? Or?
Oh, no, that's it. I just wanted to, you know, just say hi to everybody.
Great. Hey, well, thanks for coming on the show.
James, thanks for having me.
And we'll have to bring you and Max on and talk about your Egyptian classes and the Mongolian shaman classes.
Oh, yeah, the Mongolian shaman, yeah, that's going to be great, because that connects
things
to nature. Yeah, that one's
yeah,
really
we'll put the dates up. When we get those together, we'll put the dates up on the show, and anybody who wants to take those classes can come and join. There's limited seating, but they're awesome events.
Thank you, James.
All right, so thanks for coming on the show. I don't know if we have anybody else there.
Let me go see. Hold on.
We can probably take a couple callers if anybody wants to call in, share some of your information. Yeah, we have. It's amazing. The emails we get are just, I think I'm going to make a separate file and just, you know, to share with other people some of the emails we get. But, it's like people are downright threatened. They are threatened by the appearance of a saint or a sage or a master. And if it means stepping outside their box, and that there might be a bigger picture and it all might be connected, they are extremely threatened by that. So, one of these days I'll flip that up there, but we have some people that were directly involved with this oil spill, and they were attacking me like crazy, and then all of a sudden they had this big oil spill, and now they've gotten real quiet, you know, so we're not hearing too much from them anymore. All you got to do is say, don't you, have some birds and fish to clean up, you know, and they kind of like shrink down and disappear. It's amazing, there's no defense for that, what they're doing right now. It's just one of those, it's undeniable. You can't argue with it. We might have somebody on the show. I don't know. I heard the phone blanking around, but looks like she couldn't find anybody. We'll just keep going until somebody pops on. But it looks like the roving phone is out into the field. We had some great activity here last night. We had another little ship come in. It stayed up kind of high, but it did respond to the lasers and did power up. And we had quite a few other ships come in, so it was pretty active. And we actually brought the infrared spotlight out, and through the third-generation military night vision goggles we have, you can actually see the orbs flying all around the field there, which was quite a shock for a lot of people. But, it kind of ends that old program. Everybody's trying to say, it's dust, Dust doesn't fly against the wind, and dust doesn't interact with you. So, that's the end of that story. And you can see these things are all different sizes. Some are maybe 6 inches. Some are maybe 5 or 6 inches. Some are, a foot. And we've measured these things up to 30 feet. So I haven't seen the 30-foot dust particle, but I'm not saying they don't exist. Looks like we got somebody on the line. Hello?
James.
Hi, who are we speaking
Melody,
with?
How are you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Got a couple of questions.
Sure.
Have you heard anything about Earth 2, that Earth is birthing?
Oh, like two worlds?
Yes, the Earth 2, that it's birthing right now.
I've heard a lot of different stories about that, and I know that Dolores Cannon, who's going to be one of the speakers here, talks a lot about that in her progressions, where she would regress people in past lives, but then she would take them forward, and they would start talking about two Earths, and they talk about more of a frequency shift that there's going to be another higher frequency Earth, and people who are frequency specific, when the Earth ascends and goes to the next level, they're going to go with it, and the people who aren't are going to continue with the mess that they created here, and it's not going to be a pretty picture. And we are coming into that crossing point, you might say. We're very not too far away from it. But
I've
heard a lot.
Do you have any time limit on that?
Well, you know what I've been getting? They've been telling me a lot. They've been giving me dates, and they've been saying that, you know, this July, there's a massive wave of energy that's going to be coming in. It's already started, a lot of smaller ones, and it has to do with the sun and the sun aligning with some other planets as well as aligning with galactic plane. So if you watch those lineups, you're going to see a series of events that are going to unfold all the way up to and I don't think we have till 2012. I think it's 2011 where this shift point is probably going to happen. But they're saying by November and December of this year, you're going to see an end of tyranny. Is that they are just going to fold in on themselves, and we're in the process of that right now. And that's what all these bankster programs and these oil spills and everything else are going on. It just has to hit a point where. And it's very close to where people are just going to say, I'm not going to participate anymore.
Yeah, I think they made a mistake on this this drilling of the oil because they were very, very aware.
Well, actually, they made about five mistakes out there in a row, and this is just one of five, and this is just a much bigger mistake that they can't cover up. So,
I understand that Earth 1, Earth 2, that it's going to go into a fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Part is going to be third, and part is going to be fifth, and that it's basically starting happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
well, you know, I wouldn't put it past that. Now, I would see maybe there'd be a fourth dimensional experience in there too. But you know, we are multidimensional beings, and I think there are people that are going to actually leave here and go back to their home planets, and. And some are from fifth and sixth and seventh dimensional arenas that they're going to be going back to. So I think there's a lot of different realities that are going to play out here. And as far as Earth 2, I'm not exactly sure what they're talking about. I'd have to look deeper into it.
It's under the divine plan, which is referenced, I guess, in Urantia.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the 2012 Unlimited website is where I first noticed it, and then I've also read about it in other areas. Also, polar shift. Have you heard anything that there's plans on a polar shift soon?
Yeah, I have. I mean, we've known it for some time. There's going to be definitely one coming up pretty soon, and there's going to be from what we were told, is the first one is going to be about a 3-degree polar shift. And it's going to happen very quickly, and that's not going to be good if you're on the coastlines. But I don't know the exact date of it. I know it's not too far around the corner, but we're getting that everything is going to be between now and 2012. It's going to be quite a crazy ride, and then around 2013, there's just this brilliant light that seems to be permeating everyone and everything, and it's very blissed out energy and some very high energy, and that was my experience going forward. But I'm not saying that that is everybody's experience, because I think other people are going to go and have different experiences and go to different timelines or different, one of these many worlds that they have all these theories about.
Now, 2013, will that correlate with the planetary alignment?
It would be after all of that. It would be kind of after that shift. We're going to be going through this huge field, this galactic plane, and it's after we go through that field on the other side, you know, those that make it through that shift are going to have an incredible experience. But it's just getting from here to there.
Now, also, are you familiar with the Pyramid of Giza?
I am not extremely familiar with it, but... that would probably take a whole nother show to go into that one. I could talk a lot about it, but unfortunately, we're out of time.
Okay, well, I'll let you go, and you have a really good night.
And
oh,
thanks
you.
For coming on the show.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We've got some amazing things going on here. Don't forget about the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference, where you can come and see these ships for yourself and listen to some awesome speakers. They're all going to be talking about these upcoming events. Anyway, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening.